Good morning, and welcome to the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting of Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Rick J., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Cary, North Carolina. Today is Wednesday, September 25th, 2024. Today we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter We Agnostics on page 48. The fourth paragraph at the very bottom of the page, beginning with the Prosaic Steel Girder, and reading through that one paragraph, ending on the next page with the Proceeds to Nowhere. Today's readers are Chris M., the 12 Steps, Kathy C., the 12 Traditions, and our Big Book readers are Abby D. in the text, Nancy R. on page 164, and Colleen M. is our backup reader. Our newcomer greeter is Tony B., and our second hour moderator is Eileen M. The share IDs for Tuesday, September 24th, 2024, are the 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, is 21768. That's 21,768. And the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time meeting is 21,769. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Oops, trying to get my page turned. There we go. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Chris M. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, Rick. I'm Chris M., a newly recovered compulsive eater in New York. Here are the 12 steps of recovery. Step one. We admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Step eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. Step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry the message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Chris. I will now ask Kathy C. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Good morning, family. This is Kathy C. from New York, a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, number one. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as we may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group but never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me do the service in October, in September. Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions of recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes, at the end of which I will give you a gentle reminder. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to remute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous in the chapter We Agnostics on page 48. The fourth paragraph at the very bottom of the page, beginning with the prosaic steel girder, and reading through that one paragraph, ending on the next page with and proceeds to nowhere. I will now ask Abby D. to begin reading.
Abby, hi, good morning, everyone. Yep. Hi, good morning, everyone. My name is Abby D. I'm a recovered compulsive eater and bulimic in the Detroit area in Michigan. All right. The prosaic steel girder is a mass of electrons whirling around each other at incredible speed. These tiny bodies are governed by precise laws, and these laws hold true throughout the material world. Science tells us so. We have no reason to doubt it. When, however, the perfectly logical assumption is suggested that underneath this material, the material world and life as we see it, there is an all-powerful, guiding, creative intelligence, right there our perverse streak comes to the surface and we laboriously set out to convince ourselves it isn't so. We read wordy books and indulge in windy arguments, thinking we believe this universe needs no God to explain it. Were our contentions true, it would follow that life originated out of nothing, means nothing, and proceeds nowhere. So what comes to mind when I'm thinking about this paragraph is the part about reading wordy books and indulging in windy arguments. Like, it takes a lot of effort for me to be arguing things. And when I'm arguing things, I always think of the passage in the Big Book or the part in the Big Book that says that we stop fighting. Like, we stop fighting, we stop arguing, and we go with life. And when I'm trying to, you know, it says we cease fighting anything or anyone. And like in this program, I stopped fighting the higher power situation also. Like I stopped fighting. Like at first it was, I'm going to stop fighting the food. I'm going to stop fighting the requirements of like what it takes to work this program. I'm going to stop fighting. Like I'm giving up. And it's another opportunity here to like, let's just give up and believe in a power greater than ourselves. Like it takes a lot less effort for me to believe in a power greater than myself than it does to argue why it doesn't exist. Like I think about the people that I've come in contact with that argue that the world is, you know, that argue either different political views or different religious views, or that there's not a God. And it's like, it takes a lot of effort to do that. And so like when I surrender and I give up and I think like, okay, like I'm not the director of the world, like I'm not the God of the world, like let me sit back and go with the reality and the flow of life. And in that surrender, like I get freedom from compulsive eating and I get a peace of mind because I have a higher power in my life that's guiding me. And it's not so much effort and energy for me to like be fighting against this like all powerful way of life. So with that, I pass, and I'm looking forward to hearing what everyone else has to say.
Well, thanks so much for getting us started, Abby. Before we get our first group of names, just a reminder that although we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Monday or Tuesday, please hold back and let others share. Please give me your name and first initial to get on the share list. Who would like to share on what was read today?
Nancy P.
Gotcha, Nancy.
Christina J.
Gotcha, Christina.
Adrian N.
All right, Adrian. Is that N as in Nancy or M as in Mike? Who else would like to share today? All right, well, we're going to go with these three, and I know we'll get more later. So here's who I have, Nancy P., Christina J., and Adrian N. or M., not sure which. And when you introduce yourselves, please remember to include where you're calling from. Nancy, you're up, followed by Christina. Go ahead, Nancy. Nancy, hit star one to unmute, please.
Sorry about that. I thought I was still unmuted. Anyways, good morning, everybody. Nancy P., recovered in West Newton, Massachusetts. You know, I'm still agnostic, full bore. You know, I'm not anything other than that. But I don't care about rushing nowhere or, you know, all-powerful creative intelligence. I don't even like that phrase because it feels like it's trying to shove something down my throat. But all I know is I needed to get over this hump. I call it the God hump because I couldn't seem to really embrace it, you know, and I tried hard and I tried consistently and I tried for a really, really, really long time. And when I really wanted to get better, I was like, figure it out. You know, I do what I call kicking myself in the brain. And I just said, figure it out. And, you know, for me, got to a place where, you know, my thinking is unshakable. You know, I never, ever eat things that are not things that I'm supposed to eat, that I've agreed upon with my nutritionist and my doctor, excuse me. And so I, you know, happily chug along doing that. I haven't had any sugar or my alcoholic foods in almost 7 years. Totally unbelievable. And I feel like my sense of wonder, even for me, even for this, you know, arrogant, you know, stubborn, mean, you know, slimy, compulsive overeater. You know, I haven't done that. And I'm not really interested in why, but I'm very grateful. So, you know, I always say that, you know, surrender, surrender, surrender. It's true. I needed to disengage the gears, like all the gears about what is it, what do I need to know why, I need to know how, I need to know when, where, who, you know, what. And I decided I don't need to know any of that. You know, I think like, you know, I'm just going to go along. I'm going to surrender with no conclusion. And I'm going to keep surrendering with no conclusion. You know, my metaphor is I have a beehive in my yard. I don't keep it. I pay someone to keep it. But I planted them a bee playground with all kinds of flowers and everything. And bumblebees are not supposed to be able to fly. Their bodies are round. They're covered with fur. Their wings are too short, and they shouldn't, aerodynamically, they shouldn't be able to fly. But they don't know that, so they go ahead and fly anyway. And, you know, if I took it as an absolute that I had to believe in something, you know, I don't even like the word power, just something, that I had to believe in something, that would have been a deal breaker for me, you know, for me. Because I tried, and I tried with lots of excellent sponsors, lots of excellent, you know, people in the fellowship, you know, that people wanted to help me, and, you know, and I couldn't do it. And so, you know, surrender is the answer for me. Surrender with no conclusion, and I continue to do that, and I continue to get better, and I continue to progress. And anybody else who's having trouble, it can happen for you too. There's no gold, silver, or bronze membership. The only desire for membership, full membership, is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Sorry, I went over, and thank you for letting me share.
All right. Thank you, Nancy P. from Massachusetts. Christina J., you're up next, followed by Adrian M.
Morning, Rick. Christina J. in North Carolina here. I was just contemplating this morning, what if the word God in this book, throughout the whole book, was replaced with love? Would we read wordy books and indulge in windy arguments, thinking we believe this universe needs no love to explain it? I know about love, man. I have felt love since I was conceived in my mother's womb. I have no explanation for how that happened. Sure, I hear, you know, a sperm and an egg come together. But I don't know the science behind it. There's a lot of science that proves a lot of things. But I think 50% of this world is unprovable. So I didn't really come in having a problem believing in something magical, mysterious, all-powerful, guiding, creative intelligence that I think has had my back since I was a child. But I had a problem surrendering. I had a problem with this one statement. I can't think of it. Oh, acceptance is the answer to all my problems. This book has given us a pathway. You hear hundreds of people on the line every day that have reached recovery. They're changing not only around the food's down, they're changing to become beautiful people. Beautiful people. I hear stories this week of lives of suffering, pain, physical, incredible physical pain, and these processes. And they put the food down and they started seeking this thing. And their lives transformed. Who would not want that? Acceptance that something is the answer to all my problems. If I have an adverse reaction to something that has been harmful in my childhood, put it down. Let it go. I don't have to live with that. I begin to explore how exciting it is to explore what it might be for me. What mysterious, beautiful thing can it be for me that I can ignite in my heart and begin to have conversations with that presence within me. You know, it's within me. And it's beautiful. I'm a beautiful soul. And I got to get all that crap out of the way to find myself. And I hear so many in the line who have done that. This journey awaits for you. But to have an argument and read books and fight about what God is or isn't to me and say there isn't one and all this stuff, well, you know, find it for you. I just hate this last sentence. Were our contentions true, would follow that life originated out of nowhere, means nothing, perceived nowhere. That would leave me with nothing. I would be hopeless. I would go, okay, give me the effing food. What have I got to live for? I got one life. Let me live it up. You hear people say that all the time. I'm going to live it up. I'm going to party till I die. Well, I'm 65, and I don't want to suffer till I die. You know, this program, even if I wasn't 65 when I was young, I've learned today, and I'll finish up with this, that my body is tender and gentle, and it's going to start rebelling at some point, which it has now from all the things I did in the past. Anyway, thank you for letting me share, and I wish you guys all great recovery. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much, Christina J. from North Carolina. Adrian N., you're up next, and then we'll get some more names. Go ahead, Adrian.
Good morning. This is Adrian N. It's Nancy from Florida. And I had, like, a weird thought when I was listening to this. It's like the electrons whirling. We don't see them. And, you know, I've had pets over the years, and I always considered them, you know, like my babies, that I would take care of my cats or my dog or my fish or turtles, whatever it was, bird. And, you know, when life gets too lifey for me, I like to think that I'm one of God's babies. And I just put it all in God's hands. I see myself not as a pet, but as a baby. And, you know, like every once in a while you'll see in sci-fi, there'll be like a whole world being run by a computer or by a more superior being. And everything is going well. They have food, they have water, they have clean air, they have peace. And that's the way I look at my higher power. My higher power takes care of everything for me. So, like, sometimes I take it back, and then life gets lifey. And when I don't want it to be like that, I just give it all to God. And God handles it for me. And that's just like so peaceful and so comforting to know that God has my back all the time, is taking care of me. My fish don't know that I'm cleaning the water or feeding it. And that's what God's doing for me. He's making my life manageable. He's taking care of all my stresses, all my worries. You know, it's wonderful. You know, I don't know how else to say it. It's like, how wonderful could that be, that something or some being or the spheres of the universe, the intelligence of the world is taking care of me, just like he's taking care of everybody else, everything else. I pass.
All right, thank you so much, Adrian, in from Florida. Okay, we'll get some more names here before we continue with our second group. We are in the chapter We Agnostics on page 48. The fourth paragraph at the very bottom of the page, beginning with the Prosaic Steel Girder, and we're reading through that one paragraph ending on the next page with "It Proceeds to Nowhere." And though we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day, in order that others might share their experience too. So if you share it on Monday or Tuesday, please hold back and let others share. Please give me your name and first initial to get on the share list. Who else would like to share what was read today?
Susan G., Tennessee.
Jennifer C.
Okay, so I just missed somebody there. I've got Susan G. and Jennifer C., and there was somebody else right in that first little group.
Judith S. P.
Judith S. P., and then gotcha. And then who was right after Judith just now?
Jean M.
Jean, okay, how do you spell your name, Jean?
J-E-A-N-N-E.
Okay, and that was M?
Yes.
Okay. All right, who else? Okay, we'll stop there, and we'll get some more later. All right, so here's who I have. Susan G., Jennifer C., Judith S.P., and Jean M. Susan G., you're up, and then followed
right.
by Jennifer.
Sorry about that, Rick. Good morning, everybody. Susan G. in Tennessee, recovered compulsive overeater, not cured. So I just love the line or phrase that says, we laboriously set out to convince ourselves it isn't so. And when I came into OA back in 2005 and didn't know what the hell was going on and why I couldn't stop eating, you know, was told I have a disease. I think I spent a lot of years laboriously trying to convince myself it isn't so. And that wasn't wasted energy. It took what it took. The journey takes what it takes. But I don't, that's been my experience, especially this last time around, of a relapse and going through the big book with a sponsor who religiously, quote unquote, attends this meeting, is that somewhere, somehow, I did the word of the day, surrender, and it just didn't matter to me. I wasn't trying to opt out of being a compulsive overeater anymore. And I am who I am, and I have this disease. And if there's any labor I put in today, it's not even to, it's just to be of service, you know, to clean house and be of service and to trust my higher power. And I am a believer, and I have a high agnostic temperament. And so I benefit greatly when agnostics share on Islam. And what I learn is that my agnosticism is not skepticism, but it's awe and wonder, and can lead me to joy and lead me back to my own faith system. And that's all I have, and I'm just so grateful to be here. Thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
All right. Thank you, Susan G. from Tennessee. Jennifer C., you're up next, followed by Judith S.P. Go ahead, Jennifer.
Good morning. Jennifer C., recovered in Greenville, South Carolina. Thank you, everybody, for your service this morning. So grateful to be here. So I have a couple of thoughts. You know, I look at Bill's story, and I see that Bill got to a place where he knew that he needed God. And so many of us, we come into this program, and wherever we are with God, we know we need something, right? We certainly know we need something. And we can make surrender our higher power. We can make surrender our God. We can make abstinence our God. We can make this program our God, right? If I follow the ingredients, if Aunt Susie has a recipe and I follow all the steps and I use all the ingredients, I'm going to have a good final product. I don't have to give glory to Aunt Susie. I can say it came from whomever I want to say it came from. Doesn't change the fact that the ingredients and the instructions came from God. And when we follow these instructions and we use these ingredients, whether it's surrender or obedience or compliance or offering our will and our life to something greater than ourselves, it all comes from God. And I'm so grateful today that I don't have to skirt around that issue. This book is very strategic in the way that Bill laid it out. He admits that he needs God, right? But then he says something more than that. He wants God. He needs God and he wants God. And the more I show up to these meetings and the more I hear what other people have, the more I want what they have, and they have God. And then he takes it a step further and he says that he admits that without God, he is nothing. it's one thing to need God, right? It's another thing to want God. And it's a whole nother thing to say, you know what? Without God, I got nothing. And if I follow the ingredients from this all-powerful creator, I'm going to have what God has for my life. So the opposite of this last sentence of the paragraph, where our contention's true, right? Like, if there was, is no God, if there is no God, then it would follow that life originated out of nothing, that it means nothing and it proceeds nowhere. Well, that sounds ridiculous, right? So I'm going to go with a different contention, that there is God, that there is a creator, that there is a God. And so then it follows that life originates out of my creator, that it has great purpose, and that it proceeds back to God. It starts with God and it ends with God. And I'm going to go with that story today. And, you know, I offer my will and my life every single day to this good, good God. I admit that I need him. I admit that I want him, and I admit that I can do nothing without him, and I'm safe there. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Jennifer C. from South Carolina. Judith S.P., you're up next, followed by Jean M. Go ahead, Judith.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you, Rick, and thank you, God. My name is Judith S.P. from Maryland, and for this moment in time, I can say I'm recovered from my food addiction. As often, I don't have an intention when I'm on this line to share. And then somehow, periodically, I'm sharing. Thank you, God. This morning, I got up. That's a miracle. I got up in a state in which I can turn to my higher power and begin my day in my breathing with God at the center. And when I dialed into the meeting today, approximately three or four times, it kept telling me, this meeting is locked. This meeting's locked. Put in your code. I put in my code. This meeting is locked. And so I had a decision to make. Was I going to break the phone? Was I going to call somebody, text somebody, help, I can't get on? I thought about doing that, and then I would be disrupting their connection. So in any event, I put the phone aside, I took a couple deep breaths, and I dialed the number gently. I was a little bit more forceful, I guess, because I was a couple minutes late. And there I was, and here I am. I can't explain it. I have no idea. But I'm here with my fellows, able to ingest, take in, and hopefully share a little bit of the medicine that keeps me in a state of connection to my higher power. It was an experiment when I was in college and taking psychology. About 10 people lined up, and 9 of those people were told, even though the sweater is blue, I want you to say red. And so the 9 people were asked, what color is that sweater? They get through the 9 people, everyone says blue. And there's the last person who didn't know the setup. And they see a red sweater. So they say red, maybe, or they say blue, depending upon the pressure of others. And what I've come to realize in this program, now, thank you, God, going through the steps again with a terrific sponsor focused on this book, is that I have to keep myself in my life, listen to other people's experience, strength, and hope, and come to what I need to come to, directed by my higher power. Science is science, statistics, formulas, all the mechanical things that are not my strong suit, I trust. I question sometimes. But in the long run, it is God, and I believe. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Judith S.P. from Maryland. Jean M., you're up next, and we'll get some more names. And Jean, Go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. I just would like to say that I'm a brand new member. I've only been involved for about a week and a half. I'm Jean M. from Royal Oak, Michigan. And I'm so grateful that I was raised in a home that that knew God, loved God, and taught me to believe in God, and that I went to religious, I had religious education as a kid in a particular church, even though I'm not a member of that church anymore. It gave me a foundation, and it has enabled me now to have not too much difficulty turning things over to God now. But I also see that it is a profound, profound experience to really and truly depend on my God, my higher power, to help me through what I need to be going through right now. I humbly pray for the guidance and for direction, because having heard so many of you at meetings and stuff, I know that it's like peeling back layers of an onion to really get to that space where you are totally letting go and letting God and turning to Him for everything. I mean, I thought that I was doing that, but I'm finding that with my food choices and my food behaviors that I haven't been, and I can do more. And He will help me more. And I'm grateful to know that as I continue to work this program, that process will deepen, my relationship with my higher power will deepen, and that I will feel Him more and more guiding me and instructing me and helping me. I have strong faith, and I know that I will be able to accomplish this if I work this program. And I'm grateful to all of you, and I appreciate what all of you have to say, and I say thank you, and I pass.
All right, thank you, Jean M. from Michigan. All right, before we continue with more names, just a reminder, we are in We Agnostics on page 48. The fourth paragraph at the bottom of the page, beginning with the Prosaic Steel Girder, and reading through that one paragraph, ending on the next page with "and proceeds to nowhere." And though we value everyone's experience, we ask that you please limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared on Monday or Tuesday, please hold back and let others share. And who else would like to share?
Miriam J., Massachusetts.
Okay. Got you, Miriam.
Michelle G.
Got you, Michelle.
Blanca B. G.
Muted.
Natalie S.
Okay, I've got Miriam J., Michelle G., Blanca B. G., and Natalie S. Who else? All right, we'll go with these four and see where we're at. All right, Miriam J., you're first, followed by Michelle G., and as you introduce your name, please include your location that you're calling from. Go ahead, Miriam.
Thank you. Miriam J. from Massachusetts. Thank you for your service. It's been really interesting to me to listen to everyone today. I always love this paragraph in the Big Book because it's true to me. I look at a bridge. I'm not seeing it on a molecular basis. So my experience, though, was I grew up in a loving family that had a loving God. And so when I first was reading this book, it was like, okay, this paragraph isn't, or this whole section is not for me. I have a God, it's a loving God, and so, okay, let's just get on with it. But over time, what I realized was that, yes, I had a loving God, but A, I wasn't ready to give him my food. B, I wasn't ready to let go of my life and the elusive control I thought I had over people, places, and things. And as the disease progressed, and I came to study this book more and more, gratefully with this meeting, this paragraph and this chapter really has helped me see that this higher power, benevolent, is available to me to do what I cannot do. And today I know I cannot eat normally. I cannot put down the food, but live life on life's terms without help. And so for me, it's really expanded this childhood conception of this loving God to be a power by which I can live non-addicted to food, not controlled by food. And so that for me, that was the real takeaway, and it really helped listening to lots of people with their experience, strength, and hope. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Miriam J. from Massachusetts. All right, Michelle G., you're up next, followed by Blossom G. Go ahead, Michelle.
Hey, good morning. I'm Michelle G. from Massachusetts recovered bulimic. And I don't really know what to say. It was pretty quiet on the phone, and I haven't shared in a while. I guess want to chime in and say that I'm grateful that I don't have to fight anymore. I don't have to fight and strain to try to understand and define my higher power, that I just am present in it. And I used to get caught up in all the words and the pronouns, and I felt like this book was trying to kind of snow me a little bit into saying something that I thought it was religious. And, you know, when I would hear words that would just push my buttons, I would shut down, I would shut off, and I would get really mad. And there's no God in really mad. There's no place for spirit in that. And so it's really through the desperate need for some connection that I came to connect. And so I don't know how or when it happened, but I do have a connection, and it comes in peace and in quiet, which is everything that I'm not. I talk too much and I talk too fast and I'm loud, and I don't think God is in that. So I'm learning, and I'm attracted to people with that. And I really believe in the transmission line. I mean, I'm fortunate enough to be in a place where there's a lot of face-to-face meetings and multitude of fellowships that I belong to. And I can experience that connection, that spiritual transmission line between my fellows and I. And so when I'm in doubt, I can see it in the eyes of people, you know, around me, or when I'm working with a new woman and I see her lights go on, and I believe in the depths of me that I don't have to fight. It's just there. And my favorite line is, like, deep down in every man, woman, child is a fundamental idea of God or spirit or whatever. And because I think it's been there the whole time. I just needed to unblock to get to it. So I don't know how much that has to do with today's reading, with the prosaic birders and stuff. I know I can't see wins, but I can see the results of wins. I can't see power, but I can see the results of power. So I don't fight
today, and I'm so, so grateful for that and for this meeting, and thank you for letting me share a path.
Thank you, Michelle G. from Massachusetts. All right, Blanca BG, you're up next, followed by Natalie S. Go ahead, Blanca.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, moderator, brothers and sisters in program. Wow, the word fight is what jumps out at me. Man, story of my life. You know, I'm sure it started very, very young. My mother, you know, with five children and an absent father, and she was from another country, and she had an accent, and so she was, you know, pretty much people looked on her as a single mom. And back in the day, it wasn't like it is now. There are more single mothers with children than ever. It's not a stigma anymore. But back in the day, let me tell you, it was. And what we saw my mother do was fight for everything. She had to fight to protect us, fight to feed us, fight everything for that. My poor mama, you know, was a struggle and a fight. So that's the message I got. The message I got from watching my mother fight, she was so brave, you know, was you got to fight. Fight everything, everybody, or you will die. That was my message, that people are out there to just, you know, beat you down. So you got to fight back, and boy, did I ever, to say the least. And that was my childhood. I fought with the other kids. I just, you know, that was a way of life for me. Fought with my brothers and sisters. We should have banded together. Life would have been easier, but of course we didn't. Then by the time I reached, you know, my adult, 18, 19, my mother was already too tired. She had all the energy was out of her. She could no longer fight, so I took it up. I started fighting and protecting her, you know, keeping her safe, making sure she had everything. But it was just my friendships, my relationships were disasters, because being in a relationship with me was like being in a war. It was a war zone. And I had actually had a boyfriend say that to me. He said, I can't anymore with you. I can't, Blanca. Being in a relationship with you is exhausting. Well, you know, looking back, of course it was. But then I came to program, and I can't tell you how I have ceased fighting people, places, and things, what that means to me now. That is so precious to me and has changed my life around. There are moments when that fight comes back in me, but through this program, the grace of this program, I'm able to see that it doesn't help anything. That when in a situation rises, keep my mouth shut, keep my fist down, and believe me, life is much easier and smoother. And so this is what I have in this program, that more than anything, not to fight anymore. I don't have to do that. And I will pass.
All right, thank you, Blanca BG. Could you please tell us where you're calling from?
Yes, I am in Central Florida.
Thank you, Blanca. All right, Natalie S., you're up next, and then we'll get a name or two after that. Go ahead, Natalie.
I will. Thank you, everyone. This is Natalie S. I'm in Indiana, and quite frankly, I hate the weather in Indiana, and there's nothing I can do about it. It's just cloudy and crappy, and I've been spending a lot of time in Arizona where it was sunny and bright and warm, and I loved it. I was happy there. And now God has me back here. And I want to try to focus on just a couple things related to this paragraph that I kept thinking about this morning related to the line, cease fighting everything and everyone. I, like so many people have shared, when I get scared, when I feel out of control, I still, even as a recovered compulsive overeater or compulsive eater, because restriction is more my thing, I always want the control. I want to be the one in charge. I don't want anybody to object with me. That's the reality of my day, my morning. But I have to, and through the grace of the program, I've learned to live a different way. And what that means for me today is that if I don't connect to my higher power, which I call God, in the morning, almost before I get out of bed, actually before I get out of bed, even in some small way, I'm gonna fight everything and everyone. I don't like life the way it is. I think I know better than God. I think I know better than everybody else. And that's the truth. And what happens, though, which is so interesting to me, is that if I let that rule my life, then I let food and the idea of food or restriction, in my case, come in, or over-exercise. But if I just say, okay, well, that's what it is, and I need to rely on each of you and making calls and doing the steps and connecting with my power until I am able to say, okay, for right now, I can accept this. And I'll tell you, it's been a challenging 2 years for me. And I had to have this muscle biopsy in my leg, and the swelling's all gone down, but I had this weird hematoma there, or whatever they call it. I'm not a medical person. It literally looks like a cascade packet or a Tide packet sticking out the upper part of my thigh, and I hate it. It's so stinking embarrassing. But I have a choice. I can either accept it and stop fighting it and call the nurse and say, what do I do, and do what she says, or I can say, screw this. I'm just going to pound it back into my leg, and it's going to hurt like crazy when I do it, and then maybe it'll work. But at this point, the choice is I can do it my way or I can do it their way. If I do it their way, I can focus on relationships with my adult kids. I can focus on being present for people in the work that I'm able to do, and maybe even God would grant me a full-time job where I can, you know, be a service to other people.
Gentle reminder.
Thank you so much. And I just, in closing, all I want to say is it's a choice. I have a choice. I have the steps. I have God. But my humanity never changes. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, Natalie S. from Indiana. And we have time for one more. Who would like that?
Maisie C. from Massachusetts.
I heard you, Maisie. Was there a Mary also? I heard a Mary
that was,
first.
That was me, because my name is Mary, but
Go ahead, Maisie. Sorry. Please let us know where you're calling from.
That's okay. Massachusetts. Thank you. And thank you for your service, and thank you, everybody, for being here. I'm so grateful to be here. As I've said, you know, I came May 1st, and that was on this meeting, and that was the day that I got abstinent because of all of you being here and sharing. And, you know, that word fight stuck out to me, too. Being the youngest of eight, I fought my way up, whatever. But the biggest fight of all was my food. And being on this meeting and listening to the shares, and I thought, I always believed in God. I don't have to see him to know he's there. but something hit me on one of the meetings that, you know, God gave me this body. This is his temple, and I'm destroying his temple by being a glutton and being putting things in my body that shouldn't be there. And when I realized that, it was like, that was a big turnaround for me. This is the first time I've been in OA for 24 years, and this is the first time I've been absent this long. And I've lost a total of 46 pounds so far since May 1st. And it's not about the pounds as much on my body as it was the pounds, the weight in my head. You know, it blocked me from reality. It blocked me from life. And I'm free today. I'm so free. And I don't have to fight the food anymore. I have a program. I have a food plan. No sugar, no flour, no stevia, because that was a trigger for me that I found out. And I'm just so grateful. I love all of you people, because you know, you've taught me more than anybody has ever taught me in my life. No doctor, no nothing. Doctors aren't really familiar with allergies. They're not really familiar with a lot of stuff that we need, and I get what I need here, and I'm so grateful for that. So with that, I pass. Thank you so much. Y'all have a blessed day.
Well, thank you for taking us out, Lazy C from Massachusetts. Wow, what a great meeting. Thank you to everyone who shared, and please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, Wednesday, September 25th, 2024, is 21,771. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Nancy R. please read a vision for you? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning, Nancy R., recovered compulsive overeater from Illinois. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until